Want to know more about your podcast numbers? Check out Podmetrics. Podmetrics aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. And when you know your show, you can grow your show. The best part is it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and don't forget to use the referral code GEEKYJUANS. That's Geeky, J-U-A-N-S.
Six of the Geeky Ones podcast, a podcast where we talk about anything geeky under the sun, from wrestling to video games to anything in between. Today we are welcome. I'm Steven. Right below me is Jude. Today we are with Ro Moran of the Wrestling Podcast.
Hey. Woo! What's up, guys? Thank you for having me again.
Yes, welcome back. Really nice. Man.
Really nice to be on your pod as always. So thank you, and it's a nice topic. So thank you for thinking of me for this topic.
Well,
thank you, man.
Okay, I think context. I remember talking about this. Like we were talking about topics for this weekend. This week, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were wondering. I was thinking wrestling. I was thinking something else. What if gaming or wrestling? And then I remembered I was listening to I was listening to entrance music while at work. So I was shifting. I think I was listening to New Japan entrance music. Mm-hmm. So, and then I suggested Steven, hey, why not we talk about wrestling entrance music? Mm-hmm. And then wondering, who could we guess? I think we can guess Ro, because out of all the people here, you know, he had his own entrance theme. So he had experience in that department. So like that was there we go. So yeah, but yeah, in general, wrestling entrance music, yeah, it's pretty much a result of me binging entrance music themes on Spotify while working. So
All right, so before we begin with the main topic, I want to talk to you guys about, well, Shopee's payday sale, because it's coming up this Monday. So if you're listening to this on Monday, you only have a few hours left. So click on our link, tinyurl.com/ShopeeTGJ, so you can get whatever you need from Shopee. Hold on, let me just find that little link that I posted earlier. Oh no, hindi lumalabas. Uh-oh. I forgot to write it down. All right, wait now.
So good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Podmetrics for giving us a Shopee link.
Podmetrics to help us. Are great, guys.
Yes, man. I actually met Ron Baetyong during the first podcast PH like meetup. I think that's where I met Ro and everyone else, yep, with Stan and Chino. It was fun. I got to meet a lot of people. That's where I discovered now, oh, this person from RX pala has a
podcast.
Yeah, sina Rika, and then sina pa, the Cool Pals. I met them there.
Yeah,
turns out na kilala ko pala nila yung isang coworker ko dati, si Micah Andres. I think he's also a stand-up artist. So that meetup helped us definitely learn more about podcasting. That's where I met Ro from the Wrestling Podcast. That's where we learned to outline our podcast properly.
Tagal na pala nun.
Tagal na nun, di ba? I think it was like, what, a year ago? 2 years ago na?
A year and a half ago,
a year and a half, yeah.
Kasi it was, what, third quarter of 2019?
Yes, third quarter of 2019. I was still in like a different... I think I was at... I was still in my part-time job as a voiceover thing for an ESL company, but didn't pay. I mean, they were good people, but I just think the pay wasn't enough. Anyway, our main topic aside is what makes a good wrestling theme song? So let's start with Ro. In your opinion, what makes a good wrestling theme song?
Well, okay, the person who makes the themes, the composer, mm-hmm, should really know the vibe of the character, the actual, you know, the entire gimmick that he is composing for. So we guested see Joaquin Acosta, who composed a lot of the original PWR themes, wrestling themes, no? From back in 2014, 2015. So he told us what he did, which was to really ask the wrestler what his vibe was when he wanted to step out into the ring. And what, and syempre, yung peg na gusto niya. So a good theme is really one that sets the tone for the audience. So when the theme kasi is like the one of the first things you will hear or see when a new wrestler is introduced to you. So if you have that right introduction, if you set the vibe right, the energy right, the character right, then the wrestler himself or herself will go over the way they should. So dapat bagay yung themes sa presentation, sa gimmick, sa character, sa backstory, sa appearance even. And one of the things that I like, one of the things I look for especially is whether the theme, if it has vocals, whether the theme sounds like the wrestler themselves sang it. So a lot of really good themes have this little quality that they sound like the wrestler themselves were the ones who performed it. So you got themes like Dolph Ziggler's song, you know what it sounds like. It sounds like him singing it, right?
Yeah.
And then you got the ultimate example where Shawn Michaels is actually the one singing his own theme song.
Yeah.
Right? So that really goes a long way, I think, in introducing a new wrestler to the audience, no? Lalo na if it's if it's really the one, if really they're the ones singing the songs. I feel like it's all part of the package.
All right, Jude, for you, what makes a good wrestling theme song?
Okay, I think for one, I was gonna say rin na same thing about same as what Ro said, na it should fit the gimmick, it should fit the character, it should fit the entire persona of what the wrestler is. So, you know, parang if it doesn't fit, you know, if the entrance music does not fit the wrestler's look, gimmick, or yeah, or that so and so, it can actually derail like the momentum, or like affect how the character is portrayed, or how fans would see him, how fans would see the wrestler. So yeah, that's one thing. That's one thing. Theme song, or entrance music, is that it really fits the wrestler. Looking at the comments, my friend said Carlito. Oh yeah, like an example. a wrestler's voice in an entrance theme. Yeah, that's
the spitting Carlito sound effect. The Apple spitting sound effect.
Yeah, and his voice.
That's one example of a good wrestling theme song, because it fits the character. It depicts what the character is. It previews. There's also another way na a wrestling theme song is good is just how exciting the music is. Like sometimes there are times that, you know, you can make an exception that it doesn't really fit the, there are times that it might not fit the character, but the music is just so hype na parang, oh my God, yes. Like, just so, it just pumps you up.
Yeah.
Like the fact na it does that, it gives that emotion, that adrenaline rush, will make you interested in watching this wrestler or the match itself. But yeah, and then I was gonna say something. Oh yeah, it's kind of weird for me to say, but a good wrestling theme song is one that can evolve. Like we've seen a lot of WWE themes go to certain versions. We've seen a lot of New Japan pro wrestling themes go a number of versions. Like they just upgrade and upgrade and upgrade a bit. Although that's a rare case. It's not the case every time, but I love it. Like I love it when one song has the ability to just be built into something better and better as the wrestler becomes a world title level contender. So I think those are, I'll stick to those. Those are my reasons.
All right, so let's check on the comments before we start with our top five each. Yes, there's a really loud car in the back. Cass Yang says Sasha Banks' team, and I'm talking about the original one.
Not the one with Snoop Dogg.
Not the one with Snoop Dogg.
Yes, of course.
No, but the I will argue the Snoop Dogg remix made it more legit. As to what Jude said about the theme evolving, that was a nice evolution that kind of it gave Sasha Banks even more legitimacy. Yeah. Okay, main eventer now for real because I got my big time my big time cousin to rap on the track, like my legendary cousin Snoop Dogg to rap on the track. But wasn't that like a huge evolution for her?
Yeah, it was like they were making such a big deal out of it that Snoop Dogg made this theme song then. But she's more evil now.
It's a signal then. It signals that, you know, this is my time. Yeah. Well, no better team to describe it than I'll keep that example.
Yeah, and then next up is Abby Yuson, who says, "Malupit pag first beat slash sound palam. Alam mong business is about to pick up like Austin and Undertaker." Maui David says, "I love Randy Orton's voice's gimmick entrance. It fits Randy's Viper gimmick."
Another and it sounds like he sang it. Yeah? It sounds like he sang it.
Yeah, that's true. Even though
it's not him, right? But it sounds like Rev Theory sounds like him.
Yeah. Oh my god. I like Burning My Light better, to be honest.
But
He doesn't like it.
Yeah, I know.
Randy Orton's two teams really fit. It's a great example of music befitting the character, and for that case, sushi heel Randy Orton.
Abby also says, "I also like wrestling themes that may not sound like wrestling themes." That's true. Like
my guilty
Christian
pleasure
song.
For that is guilty pleasure for that is Mike Bennett and Maria's WWE song.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was, I know it loops and loops and loops.
Yeah,
but it's so good. Yeah, my friend mentioned Big Show and Hogan. I know Real American is as controversial, and the wrestler himself is hella more controversial. But yeah, that's one anthemic theme that gives out a huge pop. Yeah. Did Big Show sing his song? I don't think it did, but you know, for
it
us,
it sounds like he did. No,
it sounds like he really did. All right, one last shout out to Derv Devanesha of Wrestling After Work. He says, "Trouble Road, Great Okan's theme is LSS material."
The new theme.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's go with the top five. Here is how the top five will go. We will discuss our picks from 5 to 1. And then we will go from 5 to 2, and then we'll give our honorable mentions and our number one pick. So let's start off with Drew at number 5. I will be back with my list.
Okay. Are you going to leave? Oh, he's going to leave. He left. Okay, my number 5 is a little controversial because the guy is controversial, but I really like the song. It's one of my favorite Jim Johnston compositions ever. Mm-hmm. Because he really wrote for a mariachi band. And this theme is Alberto Del Rio's original theme song. It's called Realeza, which translates to royalty in Spanish. It's the original song, the one that's slower, the heel version. I don't know, but we're not going to play the songs, right? We're not going to play the songs here.
Yeah, we're not.
We're just going to leave the audience to their imaginations as to what they sound like. Or what the audience can do is, you're watching this right now, go to YouTube, type nila lang yung title ng song para marinig nyo.
Yeah, and you know, I think I was thinking of setting up a playlist for all the songs that we can gather from this episode. So, yeah, that's gonna be one thing.
Yeah. So that's my number 5 pick, Alberto Del Rio's first theme. It's really nice because it's not, as Abby said, you don't really think of it as a wrestling theme, because who's ever heard of a mariachi band doing a wrestling theme, diba, diba? And it was such a great composition that it felt legit. It really accompanied Del Rio's Mexican aristocrat character really well. It really set the table for that gimmick, for that character. And it was really a nice piece of music. I didn't like it when they remixed it to a faster one when he turned face. I say the original is super, super majestic. And I once set it as an alarm back in college. as a morning alarm back in college.
You can imagine it working.
Yeah, I say, but okay siyang papagising. Imagine you starting your day to those trumpets. Did you get what I said, Steven?
No, I just got back.
All that I said, man.
I had to get my list. Wait, oh my god, the camera. It won't show my list, but yeah, it's here.
Young Cass asks, "Kumusta sila ni Paige?" Man, they're not together, and that's for the better. And Del Rio's in jail.
Let's just say that Alberto Del Rio is
in the hands of the authorities. I can agree with the call.
Great team, terrible person. Yes. Let's just say that this guy is bound for jail time.
To say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. Like, yeah. I mean, wait. And also, I just want to say, I have never seen Alberto Del Rio as a face, even though when he was like, I can't accept this. Royal douche to be a face in any promotion.
He tried to make it work. He tried to make it work, but it didn't really work. So, buti na lang they went back to the original heel character because it was just bad. You're right. He wasn't believable as a face yet.
Like, who would want that as a face, right?
All right, yeah. Jude, you're number five.
Okay, number five is one of those songs that fits the criteria I mentioned. It kind of evolved. It evolved from an older theme, and then it felt like it's one of those you feel like it was sung by the wrestler. This one's Metalingus by Edge.
Yeah,
you know, on this day I see clearly, and so on so forth with Pyro and the Rated R Superstar.
Remember when they had no Pyro?
I did. Like, I think I remember him yung Money in the Bank era when he was still holding the briefcase. Like, yeah. He wasn't still explosive.
The mark of a main eventer is whether they give you Pyro.
Yeah, that's true.
In general, if you're pyro capable, or especially in WrestleMania, I remember WrestleMania 24 ata, WrestleMania 24 Edge, like the pyro for the outdoor in Florida, like that was a sign that Edge made it, like that's making it. He wins or win or lose that match, Edge made it. But yeah, Metalingus is there because it's one of those theme songs that I always remember. I always remember sing, or like, even though I don't remember about wrestling, I need some music. This was sung by Alter Bridge, so that's one thing. And I like that they use the You Think You Know part for the wrestling. For his wrestling entrance, because that was part of his old theme. That's what I said about Evolution. So like, it's a different song. Kaso the implementing the callback to his past is really good. Because one of the story of a wrestler is like going through an entire journey of how he started. You know, like. Edge started out as like I can't remember his older gimmicks. I think they were like at vampire? ECW at one point. Yeah, like they were vampires, right? At one point. They were called Suicide Blondes in ECW, which is a nice reference to an NXS song. So that's one. So yeah, that's my number five, and it's one of those. This enters the list just because it's it's something that I, one of those songs that I regularly listen to.
Hmm. All right, my number five is You're Gonna Pay, which was Undertaker's American Badass entrance.
Oh, that, wow, yeah. That's an interesting pick.
That's an interesting pick because nobody likes that song. I mean, like, I mean, I've never heard anyone like this song until now.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay,
everyone likes Roland, the Roland theme, right? And then you actually went with the original song that they made for him.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
The thing is, the backstory behind why Undertaker's You're Gonna Pay is my number five is because it was the first like wrestling theme that I was kind of exposed to, because when my friends in grade school started sharing wrestling to me, I think the first character I got hooked to was Undertaker. And at the time, he was the American Badass in like 2003. So like, I started watching wrestling around late 2002, early 2003. So around that time, yung, American Badass Undertaker was medyo towards the end of his run na. Tapos, I don't know, there was just something catchy about it. Maybe it's just me being sentimental. That's why I like the American Badass theme song. I just find it better because, one, Undertaker doesn't need to like walk for 10 minutes just to get to the ring. He has a bike to take him to the ring faster. And he'll just go around, right?
80% of time.
Exactly. You save 80% of his entrance by just doing that. He just goes around and then, you know, turns off the engine and he starts to wrestle na. Maybe it's just me, like, wishing the Undertaker got to be the American Badass with that music one last time, but he never did. They decided to go with the cinematic match without him going out to that, you know, entrance music. Sayang. Anyway, to sum it up, American Badass Undertaker's theme song was my pick because I was sentimental with it.
That's a good pick. It's a really deep cut, actually. Everyone remembers Roland, nga, diba?
Yeah,
that's what they like. As Derv said in the comments, everyone likes Roland. Oh,
it wasn't just overshadowed. If there was a word worse than overshadow, heavier than that, it was like people remember Limp Bizkit more than...
Yeah, with the big entrance in WrestleMania 18, diba? Grabe. All right. Let's go to number four. All right, Ro, what is your number four?
Okay, so we started with Jim Johnson, and then we go to CFO Dollar Sign because he has some hits. He had
PFOs.
Some hits. Yeah, he had a lot of duds, but he had some hits. I give my respect to CFOs. Mm. So my number four is The Rising Sun.
Oh,
Shempre, as you know, for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Asian representation.
Sorry, guys. I know some of you like the NJPW theme, but this is a real masterpiece, I think.
Mm, definitely.
It doesn't quite sound like a wrestling theme, but it just works. And at first, nga hindi raw yun yung gagamitin na dapat. I think he
really?
Was first. Yeah, he was first given the. He was supposed to get Glorious first.
What?
He was supposed to get Glorious first, and then he didn't like it, so I think they gave him the Rising Sun after. So that worked out, diba? Because the song super fits Nakamura. It kind of sounds Asian despite not really sounding Asian or not really intentionally sounding Asian. Like violin, right? The violin, I know, isn't super Asian naman, but it does sound like Asian music, like Japanese music. Mm-hmm. So it really, really works. I liked it even better when they remixed it to have the guitar and the rapper. Mm. But OG Paren is still really great. I think Lee England was the guy who plays violin.
Yeah,
he's really good, super good. He does it live, and the live versions are really to die for.
Mm. All right. Now, Jude, what your number four is?
Go. Oh, This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage for CM Punk. Okay. Nice. Now this is another case of people liking the other wrestling song over the other. But whenever I listen to Cult of Personality, because I listened to Cult of Personality before it even went to CM Punk. kaya my impression of the song was like when I first heard na he was going out on that, like really. No, because kasi for me there's something heavy on about the message of Cult of Personality, and it's one of those songs na that's really it's one of those 90s anthems. But yeah, despite that, I like This Fire Burns much better. I think it defines the like up and coming, how much of an up and coming talent CM Punk was when he started out in ECW. And I grew attached to this team because I was invested on CM Punk. I was invested on him when he started becoming when he became ECW champion, and I think he got pinned by Chavo for some reason, and then when he started his world title runs by kicking Jeff Hardy's ass, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every that, and then you know it escalated to the pipe bomb and best in the world run. So it was, yeah, I enjoyed CM Punk's run in the WWE, and despite the ending, you know, despite him hating everything, in the end, it was still it was that flash of a pan thing that WWE needed at that time. But yeah, it was fun. As for the team, the intro, I think this is kind of similar to like Metalingus, the build up of the intro to the verse, to the chorus of the song is just amazing. Parang,
share niyo yung ano? Share niyo yung link to the you know, YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sharing it now actually.
Yeah.
By the way, I remember. So Derv mentioned in the comments, the Randy song.
Which Randy song?
So remember, This Fire Burns was actually Randy Orton's theme song like one show. One episode of SmackDown,
he had the
theme song, and he hated it so much that he went back to ano, diba?
Burning My Light.
Even though he hated that too.
I hate it too. I'd hate This Fire Burns on Orton more. Parang no, it doesn't. It doesn't fit the character. But yeah, and I think that you know CM Punk, you know, having the straight edge gimmick and you know having a background that. Where he was like king of the indies in some way at that point in time. So I like it. But yeah, really awesome theme song. And sorry to Cult of Personality. I love that as a standalone song, not as not as wrestling music. But yeah. it's good. Right.
So my number four is gonna be another legend. This one again. Evokes memories of TNA this time, a TNA legend. In this case, my number four is Sting's Slay Me. Now, Sting, more people know Sting for his WCW theme song, of course, with like the narration and everything, with the little girl talking about like how, you know, there's darkness and whatever, and here comes the light.
Edgelord
Sting. And then, okay, but for me, I honestly wasn't that familiar with the WCW, WWF, you know, Monday Night War era. Because, again, I was a ruthless aggression kid, like many kids our age.
Yeah,
definitely. And then, around the same time I discovered WWE, TNA/Impact Wrestling was just starting at the time. And then, one of the biggest acquisitions they made, post-Jeff Hardy and all, you know, because he was still pretty drugged up at the time. I think was he drugged up or like was that like 06, 08?
He was drugged up in 2011. It's actually today is the 10-year anniversary of Victory Road 2011.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Speaking of Sting, my god. I agree. so anyway, Sting's theme song for TNA was just so different. So the thing, all right, the biggest issue with a lot of TNA theme songs was that they all sounded exactly the same, but there were only like three or four wrestlers in TNA whose theme songs you knew were theirs. Like maybe four to five down, very few. The ones I could think of are for sure were Sting, Jeff Jarrett, because it had that annoying like that opening riff, the opening guitar riff. AJ Styles, because it's AJ Styles. Christian Cage and Abyss. Everyone else is
Kurt
like
Angle though.
Medyo. But like, there's something about Sting's theme song na. Maybe it's because he was the one legend that stayed almost till the end. Like he was almost there to like until the rebrand happened. I think he was like right before the Impact Wrestling rebrand happened. I think that's around the time when everyone started leaving. So like AJ was gone, but like Bobby Roode. It's like when Bobby, like right before Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe left. I think that's the time that Sting left. And I don't know. Maybe it just again makes me sentimental of the good old days when TNA was like legit second competition, like legit the second level of wrestling to WWE.
Yeah, those were the days.
Like, oh god, man! Like they had the craziest matches, like Lethal Lockdown. Lethal Lockdown was the best.
Ultimate X for him, man.
Ultimate X. God damn. Like, yes, the TNA matches were some of the TNA matches were crazy, but Ultimate X was at least original. And it really brought a lot of memories.
Yeah, but they really just wanted you to get the Giant X.
Yeah. I mean, unless it was for the X Division.
Very straightforward, though.
Yeah, like, you know, that's true.
You don't have to think about what are they going to do. Oh, there's a huge X there.
Yeah, probably pretty much. And I remember Elevation X. The big metal structure.
The big metal structure. Yes.
It once or twice. It became like Rhino's signature match in TNA.
Ultimate
there
X.
Was Raven's there was Raven's special match. I think it's not Raven's
the Clockwork House of Orange.
I think it was that. Yeah. I appreciate TNA for trying out any weird shit, especially this excited ring, which I love. The diagonality of that ring was
I think Sting hated it.
I think he did. But Sting.
Anyway, speaking of Sting, again, more of a sentimental pick. So let's go to number three.
Number three, na. Wow.
All right, number three. Ro, what is your number three? All right,
my number three, going back to Jude's point about a theme song evolving. Yeah. So this is I think the last version of Eddie Guerrero's WWE theme song, the Light, Cheat, and Steal, but the one with the cell phone opening. So, that was really, really good. That came after Eddie's heel turn. That was right around the time where he was fighting Ray and then eventually fought Ray for Dominic.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
He turned heel and then he's instead of the fun Lie, Cheat, and Steal song, it's now the cell phone opening. And it was much more low key and much more angas. I'll drop the link in the comments for you guys so you guys can hear it. I think this is that. It wasn't Gangsta-Lina. They just put the original Light, Cheat, and Steal song into this really angas backbeat. So that's my
a few heavy riffs.
And yes, then they made it more guitar based. They added a little more electric guitar to it, and they just it just really. I know. This really accompanied Eddie's new edge, no? So, I think he kept that one till he died.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's his last entrance theme.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. That's my number three.
All right, Jude, what is your number three?
Number three is... Oh, yeah. Okay. I had to put this. I had to put at least one or two Japanese wrestling theme songs, and I have to be a lonely warrior tonight. Because there's no way that I can.
I have to share the Spotify link for this, man. It's one of the few Japanese wrestling themes on Spotify.
It's okay. It's by Ayumi Nakamura. And this is. It's for Minoru Suzuki.
No. He borrowed it.
Oh. Okay.
No, it was Shibata, right? It was Shibata's song.
Wasn't it?
Wait. Oh, no. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, I'm thinking of something else. My bad.
Yeah, all right, but yeah, Jude, I could not leave this out because even though I have not heard this as much as the other ones, took me a while to become a regular watcher of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, but yeah, this is one of the entrance teas that may not fit the wrestler. Like, it's weird na hearing this and then seeing Minoru Suzuki come out because the theme is heroic, right? The title is "I Have to Be a Lonely Warrior." So it's a warrior. It's a song about a warrior sacrifice. It's about being brave. But the fact that coming out is the king of Japanese pro wrestling for the past 35 years.
Yeah.
And a complete nut job in the ring, but really awesome, is kind of interesting. It's fascinating. And the fact that the crowd is just sold on this song every time. That's why it's kind of sad na, in the pandemic situation, the crowds can shout "Kaze ni nare" in the middle, because that was the big pop that Minoru Suzuki always gets. And this one is awesome. And the fact that Ayumi Nakamura performed this a number of times.
That's, I think, true.
One of the more popular ones was the Noah performance, where it was a nice it was like you can compare it to like Triple H and Motorhead at WrestleMania. The wrestler and the artist performing, being there, like, hey, appreciate. It's always cool to see that, like, the actual performer of the song being there for the wrestler. It's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love this song. It's so weird to see it on Minoru Suzuki. Although we've been so accustomed to it.
Used to it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's
love it. All right. So what my favorite version of Kaze ni nare is probably the one that was performed in an outdoor show. So in Minoru Suzuki's hometown, he had like this, I think it was his his wrestling anniversary show. He held it outdoors. Tapos umulan. So Ayumi Nakamura was singing in the rain and everything, and like
being all hyped.
Yeah, it was so badass. It's like, it was so badass. They even had Okada come out in the full Rainmaker getup. I think he was also in white. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I remember that. He was
in white. They were both in white.
It was such a badass settings. Like, how are you able to like perform like a pretty good match while the ring is wet pretty much? Ang hirap nun, diba? And then they finish with a draw, of course, because Gedo would never let Okada be pinned by Suzuki in that manner. the Wondering, with the white trunks. The 30th anniversary version fits current Suzuki, lalo when it played when he confronted Moxley. Yeah, I love that version with Mox, the one in Wrestle Kingdom when things were still normal. I miss the days when everything was normal. Anyway, before we continue, I wanted to talk about Mr. Speedy. So get 50 pesos off when you place your first delivery with Mr. Speedy when you use the code Geeky Mr. Speedy right there on your screens. You can book a delivery via their website, mrspeedy.ph, or you can download the Mr. Speedy app from the Apple App Store, Google Play, Huawei Mobile Gallery, all available for Metro Manila, nearby provinces, and Cebu. Woo! Thank you, Podmetrics, and Ron Big John, the entire team. Yeah,
number one.
Yes, number one. All right. Let's move on to the comments. Let me just go back to the comments for a bit. Kaze ni nare superior, said by Angelo of the MTG Show podcast. Yes, superior, definitely. What else?
Let me check. Shadow.
Gasoline. We got
Nakamura. Oh, I think we have to check. Like, talking about TNA teams a while ago, Booker T had a bootleg version of his original TNA team. Yeah, I think that one was like, yeah, wait, isn't this just his WWE team?
I think and, so.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Somebody better find that on YouTube.
Derv mentioned God, I remember this. Putang ina, King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain, yeah.
Oh my God, that match. My God.
Oh, man, but King, there was Feast or Fire too. That one was weird as hell, man. It was one of those many.
Oh, man.
And don't forget, guys, there was once a TNA Beer Drinking Championship belt.
Ah, so, yeah, I remember that. Oh, Derv says, no love for Seek and Destroy. I think Seek and Destroy was barely Sting's team, right? It was only like for a year before like they had to like give it back to Metallica because WCW had no more money.
Yeah, it was something. That team was good, sana, but it was too freaking expensive to get. Like,
yeah, and I think
getting Metallica.
I think WWE actually dubbed it over in like the replays of Nitro on WWE Network.
Yeah, they probably
now on
did.
Peacock.
Yeah.
Grabe. God damn, that was a crazy Peacock. Time. That was a crazy time.
So long. What the
Abby
WWE
Yuson
Network?
Says,
just Peacock
RKO
right now.
Yeah, Abby Yuson says Randy has been hating things. Has been hating. Yeah? Fire that burns since before pa. Burn my light. Aaron Silao says, I like Cult of Personality more for CM Punk because it fits more of his personality. yeah, that's pretty much it for the comments at the moment. One last. Yun. Angelo once again says, actually sa list pero di dapat mawala yung Enter Sandman sa best teams. Definitely, oh, definitely.
Oh yeah, I was gonna put this. Okay, I would say na if I had an entrance team, it would have been either Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
Because it's my morning work song. Yeah. Or it was For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, worth mentioning Sandman's team, even though na it's an entire copyright strike
period. Yeah.
But it was still awesome.
All right, Ro, now let's go on to the second to last for each of us. Ro, right. What is your number two wrestling
okay,
team?
My number two. Team? My number
your
two
theme?
Was originally number one, yeah. But I had to think of something else for number one. But so, yeah. My number two is none other than the Broods theme.
Oh.
I'm sure that you know that your New Jersey Devils use it for their walk-on song. I think before. I'm not sure if they still do now.
The Brood,
yes. By Jim Johnston again. I put it on whenever I want to feel awesome or cool when I'm walking outside. So I'm going to link it now to the people in the comments section.
Yes.
If you don't know what it sounds like, you are in for a treat. If you know what it sounds like, it's fun as always.
Gangrel, Edge, and Christian.
Super cool. I think it's one of the coolest things that Jim Johnston composed. Because it's not your in-your-face, it's not an in-your-face theme song at all. It's not a heavy rock song. It's just something that sounds cool, totally cool, guitar-based, and gothic feels, I think. Yeah, I think everyone would just agree that it's a really cool song.
Hmm. All right.
He's edgy in some
like
way.
Edgy but cool. Like they were edgy but they were cool.
Yeah, yeah, they were super edgy. It wasn't like emo or anything or black metal, diba? It was really cool.
Hmm. All right, Jude. What is your number two?
Okay, number two was initially two entries. Two from one wrestler. Ro mentioned this kanina, so it was Rising Sun was the other one. So I'll just say na Rising about Rising Sun is one of those Asian themed entrance music that didn't sound like it was a stereotypical thing. It didn't sound stereotyping. It wasn't. It was a song that just fits the wrestler and fits the heritage of the Japanese wrestling. Roots of Nakamura, but yeah. On the other hand, we have Subconscious from Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, the other and Nakamura theme.
I forgot to mention this. What makes a good wrestling theme song? This one is a must. A good wrestling theme song must sound like a boss battle. Must sound like boss battle music in some way or form. Like
yes.
Like if. Like imagine Triple H is the game, like that, something like that. And New Japan has so many great examples of wrestlers like having entrance boss battle level theme songs.
Definitely.
For me, like you can't be a world champion if you don't have a boss battle level theme song. I mean, look at Evil. Evil
Goto's theme song is world class level, naman.
Which one?
Goto.
Wait, okay. I'll say something about that later. But okay.
Okay. Let's talk about subconscious.
Okay, in terms of boss battle level teams, like one example was Evil last year when he moved to Bullet Club. He had that Castlevania boss.
Oh, yes.
Like, see? Yes. He has a double, he was double champion for a while. So,
yeah,
but still. Case in point, Shinsuke Nakamura's subconscious is one of those teams. Mm. It was just, from boring MMA Shinsuke to King of Strong style Shinsuke. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. It was just so good. I love the guitar. It was just an entire guitar song. It was just all guitar for that part. Mm. Like, it was just running on adrenaline-filled guitar riffs for the entirety of the music. But it was so good because, you know, you're coming up against one of New Japan's greatest. That it's mm-hmm. it's just a signal. It signifies that you're coming up against one of Japanese pro wrestling's aces.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, you know, the same way that you're coming out, like Okada would be coming out. It's the same way like Tanahashi would just go out. Like, this is one of the songs that this guy means business. This one, this team means business. And yeah, I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura has two all-time great entrance teams.
That's true.
So that's really lucky. Like, you can hardly find that in many wrestlers. So. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So I totally, while plugging our affiliates, I guess, I totally forgot my number three. My number three is Johnny Swinger's theme from Impact Wrestling. Because for some reason, there's just something about it that it's so cringy but funny at the same time that you can't help but listen to it. It's very 90s. It's like, it serves the character of Johnny Swinger so well because it's literally just like an old redundant 90s rock song.
Okay,
like an 80s, so 90s rock song.
Generic sounding rock. I haven't heard it yet. So
I shared the link to everyone here on Facebook. So if you guys can just click.
Okay. I hear it now.
Can just click it right now. It's a very, it's the perfect embodiment of Johnny Swinger's theme song, of his character. It's just, you know, it's so out of touch with the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to research who Johnny Swinger was, and I remember he was very tag team partners with a certain Simon Diamond. That's quite a nice wrestling name. But early TNA, very early TNA.
Yeah, but like he's literally like present day Impact Wrestling. So anyway, that's about it for my number three. Number two, I forgot because I got like mixed up with all the the codes that we have. So please do use the codes to help keep the Geeky Ones afloat. My number two is Get Ready to Fly for AJ Styles. Because my goodness, man.
Okay, say it's rare to have a wrestler to have two great entrance teams, but AJ has like
three.
Four? Like every step of the way, as he grew, as he grew into an X Division wild madman, flying madman, to whatever AJ Styles is right now, like legend status. He always had an entrance team that is so good, crazy.
Yeah,
crazy to have that.
So what makes Get Ready to Fly for me probably one of my best like favorite theme songs is you knew you were going to be in for something big when that the drums started to hit. And then the words Get Ready to Fly are shouted out. You're like, okay, here comes the best wrestler in TNA. Here comes the ace of TNA.
Still is.
Yeah, pretty much. Like until now, nobody, like he's just so good that nobody in Impact Wrestling today can match AJ Styles. Maybe Ace Austin one day, but he's not yet there. He's still like far away from like reaching AJ's level, but like in terms of like talent for his age, it's probably gonna be Ace Austin one day. But you know, this is about AJ Styles, the greatest wrestler in TNA history, hands down. Like there is no other way to describe him. he's made an impact, pun intended, he's made an impact in TNA, in New Japan, in WWE, ROH. He's done it all. ROH World Championship.
If only he won the championship in the World Championship in ROH, it would have been one comment
with this team.
Impact Wrestling is still relevant today. Yes, it very much is.
Yes, it is.
Definitely. Shout out to
Cassian. I would say for the past few years, they have the most efficient wrestling roster in professional wrestling. Because they're not that much. They're not many. Because of the fact that they can still squeeze in everyone in the show without feeling too crowded, without feeling too excessive. That's actually nice. They feature everyone. They make sure that everyone got it feels like it kind of, the feeling of mid-2000s TNA when it felt fresh. The X Division felt so fresh. TNA right now, Impact Wrestling right now is really, really fun.
I mean
it
has the help of AEW.
That's true.
Even if it needed AEW's help, it's still pretty relevant, and that's saying something for them.
Imagine, how many times have we thought that TNA would die? I mean, we're now at we're almost at year 20 of Impact Wrestling /TNA, and it's
next
crazy
year,
that it's still here.
It is.
Yeah.
Next year, 20 years.
Insane. No company no North American wrestling company I've heard has gone through this many ups and downs within less than 20 years.
Yeah, the fact that it survived despite the dominance of WWE. It survived to still get TV time, consistent weekly TV time.
Despite it being super far away in the TV.
It's so hard. Even though it's so hard to compete for viewership, they're still here. They're still alive. Really good.
All right, so there's one last look at the comments. I think Cass Young asked us a question about what do you think of the current the current songwriters of WWE? Can't remember their name though.
Def Rebel.
Yeah, Def Rebel. What do you think of Def Rebel? I like Lakshmi's theme though.
Nice. I mean, it's not mind blowing, but it's also not bad. Sifo's because it had some bad stuff, but Def Rebel hasn't had any bad stuff yet.
What I hate about Sifo's is that they loop their songs to no end.
But I mean, a lot of WWE themes, all the wrestling themes do that, I think.
Yeah, but I think Sifo's because it's even more highlighted with how they did it. So it felt even worse when it felt even worse. The looping felt even worse at the time. Or maybe it came to a point that we just got so tired of it now. We began to notice it even more.
Yeah, that's true. It was really kind of lazy actually. But it was efficient for the format. Although I just didn't like it because it was super obvious then.
All right. So let's move on. Let us move on to our runner ups, our honorable mentions. Let's go with Jude first because Jude has five honorable mentions to Ro.
I'll mention two.
Okay, let's do Ro first. Let's do Ro.
Pick one. Wow, yeah. Just only one.
Yes.
Since we've already mentioned Metalingus kanina by Jude, I'll go with Christian's TNA theme, which is amazing.
That's good.
The instrumental of Evanescence is My Last Breath.
Yeah.
So.
Man.
Yun ang pinaka runner up ko. It's still pretty good. It's so good that they use it again for AEW.
Yes.
Diba?
they couldn't just keep it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know. I think Tony Khan is paying for the rights of that. Cause
he
has money to pay Evanescence. Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably cheap.
Impact is selling everything for cheap.
If I can only get one, diba? If I can only get one runner up theme.
Yeah. All right. Jude, what is your runner ups?
Oh yeah, okay.
You have a lot.
I couldn't mention Edge without mentioning The Undertaker because I love that rivalry so much. Mm-hmm. It was two and a half years that they fought. So
yeah.
Undertaker's Dead Man team was just so the bell, the 10-minute entrance. you don't care that it's gonna take 15 minutes before the match starts. It was just Undertaker with his mystique all over. But there was of course I thought about the Tsuya Naito's team for a bit because it's one of those that evolved.
Yeah.
From, you know, from dance floor anthem to world championship level dance floor anthem. I love it so much. But yeah, I have to mention Hiroki Goto's team because I like Hiroki Goto's team. That's boss level music team, but you know, Hiroki Goto is not boss level in New Japan, sadly, but this is a case of the team being way better than the wrestler.
Whoa!
Like the team being as great. Like, I don't know. The team is like, or you know, we just wish Goto has a really nice run soon. Mm. You know, the time traveling samurai needs to go home to his family. And then I remember, I also remember Stone Pitbull by Tomohiro Ishii. That's one of those teams that it's just fun to listen.
All right, my runner up is Switchblade for Jay White.
Oh yeah.
So I feel like it's almost there, almost world championship level. Konti na lang.
Just bound to change a bit. Yeah,
feeling ko, maybe once we get like Kiwi, like you know, Super Kiwi Jay White back in Chaos, because I truly believe the end game is Jay White's going back to Chaos. People, one day he is going back, because that photo from like 3 years ago now, where he was jumping in like an Australian beach with Okada and Rocky Romero, it goes to show you he's very close with Okada and the guys. I'm telling you. We're gonna get Super Kiwi Jay White back one day, and he's finally gonna get merch in New Japan. Because if you notice right now on the New Japan website store, Jay White doesn't have that much merch besides his shirt and like outside partnerships.
We're gonna wait until he turns into the Kiwi savior Japanese pro wrestling.
Yeah,
pretty much,
man. Like, I feel like his Switchblade team now is cool and all. But it's just so edgelord, you know, edgelord.
I've grown attached to it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how annoyingly edgy it is, it actually is.
Yeah, it's, with like it's the fun. Like that. the deep breathing and all. It's like, oh my God. Anyway,
the riff is pretty chilling. I can say that. The opening sound, though, it's really nice.
Yeah, and that is my runner up. So before we go to our number one, we would like to talk about the last affiliate links that we have for Podmetrics. Aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. And when you know your show, you can grow your show. The best part is it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co. And don't forget to use our referral code GeekyJuans. You can find it on your screen right there. That's GeekyJuans, all in caps. Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast. Now, Ro, let's go to your top favorite wrestling theme song.
All right, guys. So you mentioned earlier at the start of the show that you got me for this episode, kasi. I know what it feels like to have my own wrestling theme as a wrestler myself.
All right.
So, syempre, I can't do this list without naming my very own theme song as my number one. So, syempre, as a PWR wrestler before, I was able to have my very own theme composed and crafted for me by the great Waki Acosta of Halik the Gringo. And it was super good. He asked me what I wanted. He asked me how I wanted it to sound like. I'm going to drop it right now in the comments.
Yes, nice.
It's up on YouTube. If you haven't heard it yet, if you're not clicking on it just yet, it sounds like a local version of Samoa Joe's theme, pero instrumental. Samoa Joe's WWE theme, the Destroyer. No, so it. I wanted that kind of vibe. I was a heel when this theme debuted, and I just wanted to be badass, and I just wanted it to have like a really mean sounding hip hop vibe going on when I came out. Because before I had my original theme, I was going out to an instrumental version of Kanye West's Blood on the Leaves. And the final part, the where it's all blaring and kind of obnoxious and kind of ominous. So that's the vibe I wanted. And Samoa Joe has just recently debuted on NXT at the time. So I told Waki, that's the peg. And then he did all of that and more. He even added some hacks to make it sound like there was a kulintang playing in the background.
Nice.
So that's a nice riff that he added there, which was super bagay din for my character kasi I was the one who was speaking mostly in Tagalog when the others were speaking or cutting promos in English and stuff like that. So yun, really great stuff. It still holds up to this day.
Mm.
And
shout out. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm pretty much done.
Shout out to Abby Yuson for saying, "Makaflex naman tong si Ro."
Eh, kasi maganda siya. It's a really nice song, guys.
Yes.
I will always flex it no matter where I go. Kasi it's the first and only song that was created for me.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Awesome stuff.
All right. Jude, what is your number one wrestling theme song?
Ooh, okay. Now this one was easy actually. Like I was thinking, what could be my number one? But my number one is One of a Kind, which was made for Rob Van Dam, and I can't remember the artist. Wait, let me do a nice scroll through. I was searching kanina, like I was looking for what theme could be my number one, and then it was One of a Kind by Rob Van and it was by it was the point version by the band Breaking Point.
Hey, that's nice.
I like it because I don't know, it was one of the songs that got me hyped, and the fact that, you know, One of a Kind, like, you know, it fits RVD because, you know, RVD did some wrestling things that only he can do, you know.
That's like, true.
He had that rolling thunder, that double rolling thunder, senton. It was so unique. Van Daminator being my favorite. There was the Van Terminator, which I don't think he does anymore because that one is so dangerous and it's really hard because it's a corner to corner thing.
Coast to coast, I know.
And then Five Star Frog Splash. Yeah, it was just hype for RVD back then because it was so unique, and even more hyped when he won Money in the Bank and beat John Cena with the help of Ed, fellow awesome wrestling entrance music person Edge. But yeah, that's good. But yeah, that I got this theme song. It's just it has that hype, and you know, it was somehow a world championship level theme then. Like, you know, RVD was world champion when he had that theme. So, awesome.
That's right.
And at least RVD had his own weird wrestling teams after that, but let's not talk about that and just enjoy
the whole effing show.
Enjoy team. RVD 420 and all its glory.
Yeah.
All right. 420 of a kind.
Oh, God. So, 420 of a kind. So, my number one originally was going to be Stardust, which is Tetsuya Naito. But I realized there's something even greater in New Japan hiding that I totally forgot about. And that is Rainmaker, which is Kazuchika Okada's theme song. The theme song, so big and so epic. It has had like 5 remixes now. It's got like the crazy balloon Rainmaker Okada. It's had the what else? I can't remember the other ones. The one where he like came out to like for like a promotion for a dinosaur game.
I think
dinosaur game.
Yeah, he had this entrance where he had like a Buster.
Wait, was it a Monster Hunter?
Yeah, Monster Hunter. Yeah. Sorry. He came out to like a present. Like his entrance was presented by Monster Hunter, so he had like a raptor next to him. He had a Buster sword with him. It's like he had like this special theme song just for that entrance. And then there was this one in Wrestle Kingdom 12 where it's like there was like this really long grand intro with like the globe from afar, and then zooms in, and then like the closer it gets to Japan, the theme just gets more epic and more epic. So I feel like Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada's theme, is the best theme song for me. That's because of the many remixes it has. So it has like multiple options for listeners, but at the same time, it's just cool. It's just really cool. If you go to YouTube right now, I will link it here on Facebook. The Rainmaker theme now has 1 million views on YouTube, the music video released by NJPW. And if you can't find it there, you can find it on Spotify, surprisingly. Now, I was really glad when New Japan finally released this on Spotify, because for the longest time, King Records, Columbia Records Japan, has a tendency to not release anything internationally. They want everything to be in CD form, but they realize that, oh shit, we have to keep up with the rest of the world. We have to release this digitally. And they finally did it last year during the pandemic, I think. Tama ba? Or was it before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's a case naman for in the past few years, Japanese music being increasingly available on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, even YouTube. Like, I was surprised. There was this anime opening theme I was listening to for so long. I was looking for the actual original version, and it finally, like this week, I just discovered that they finally put themselves on Spotify. It was crazy. So. I think it's just a case of modernizing themselves. Yeah. You're right.
I think the biggest, most coveted theme song will probably be the Evangelion theme song, because it's available on Spotify Japan, but it's not available internationally.
It's gonna be the holy grail of anime music.
Like, imagine, you're about to like end the world, kid. Let's listen to some 90s pop.
No better way to end the world. Ramp up the apocalypse with some J-pop. Let's go. Yes. But yeah.
All right. So
the man with his own currency, Kazuchika Okada.
Definitely. All right. So before we go, I want to talk about other geeky news this week.
Yeah. Nice.
So we have four main points. Pepe Le Pew being canceled, Maki Ito's AEW debut, the Nintendo Switch Pro, and Microsoft buying Bethesda. So, Jude, you have a lot to say about Microsoft buying Bethesda.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let's go with that first.
Summary is, Microsoft being the multi-billion dollar mega corporation that, wants to dominate the tech industry, and now they want to ramp up their gaming side, because admittedly the Xbox One was not a failure, but not a failure in terms of console sales, but in terms of the games that they offered, the game variety that Microsoft exclusives had to offer, it was lacking. Apart from Halo, a bad Crackdown sequel, a pretty nice Gears of War run though, and of course Forza was excellent. Nothing. There was no system, complete system seller for Xbox One. So to prevent that from happening, Microsoft has been back to the strategy of going all out on getting the attention of some of the biggest game companies. And at this point, for this one, they bought out a lot of other game studios. Mostly they've bought studios that have collaborated with them. And one of them is Bethesda. And now Bethesda, though, is one of the biggest game companies around. They have Fallout. They have Doom. They have Diablo. Not Diablo, pala, that's they have Elder Scrolls. Those three franchises are some of the biggest gaming franchises in history, especially in America. And the fact that Microsoft bought them means that there's a level of exclusivity. That means you can play Bethesda games on Microsoft, and the fact that there's millions of people playing those games, there's a huge fan base for that. Microsoft just snagged a huge fish. Especially when the current generation of consoles is becoming competitive. The PS5 has been really, really hype, and Xbox is kind of a bit behind on the hype. So They need something big, and the fact that they now have almost every Bethesda game available on their Game Pass on PC and Xbox, that's incredible. That's gonna be so huge for them. And yeah, I'm interested. I really hope that they help out. Microsoft helps out redeem Bethesda, because apart from Doom Eternal, Bethesda has released a bad Fallout game and has not released an Elder Scrolls game in a while, a full main series Elder Scrolls. So I think it's about time. This is going to be a huge benefit to Bethesda and Microsoft. This is a win-win deal. Although right. people would hate it na they can't see the titles on PlayStation, they're still on PC. So this is big for both companies, and I'm looking forward to it. Even though I'm a PlayStation guy, one of the reasons I'm saving up for PC is because I know that it's gonna be. I know Microsoft is gonna have a huge, huge impact for this generation.
That's it. All right, Ro, do you have any thoughts on Microsoft's purchase of Bethesda?
No, at first I was afraid that whatever. The only Bethesda property I play right now is Elder Scrolls Online, and I haven't played Skyrim since forever because I didn't want to keep replaying the same thing over and over, even with mods. So I was scared when I heard Microsoft was buying Bethesda, but then I remembered I play on PC, so I'm sure that it's either going to be, I mean, it's going to be an Xbox and PC exclusive because that's where the money is. So I'm safe. And I'm okay with it. I just want my next Elder Scrolls already, whenever that is.
I really hope they do. That's something really hype.
All right. So next up is the possibility of a Nintendo Switch Pro. What do you guys think? Because I'm all for this.
Okay, I'll start on this one.
Let's go with Jude first.
Okay. Nintendo Switch. It's 4 years. It's a 4-year anniversary of Nintendo Switch. And it's successful. It was it's not Wii level successful yet, but it's successful on the term that it's as loved as the DS, it's as loved as the Wii.
Yeah.
It's one of, because you know, Nintendo has been on a hit and miss run, you know. Let's say they hit with the NES, they hit with the SNES, but the Nintendo 64 was kind of middle of the pack. Like the reception was okay, and there was well-loved games there. Of course, the Zelda games were, and Mario 64 was there. PlayStation dominated, and then the next they tried the GameCube, which was third place in that console war. Sadly, even though it's a really, really underrated console with great exclusives. And then there was the Wii, which was the overall winner of that generation. It kicked the PS3 and Xbox 360's ass in terms of sales. sure, the games on the other consoles were better, but hey, you can't beat some Wii Sports, man. But yeah.
Wii Sports.
For that. And then after, they tried of course, I'll mention the DS and the Game Boy systems. Those were really good.
Yeah, but the Wii U, man.
The Wii U. Oh, man. Wii U. Man,
Wii U.
Anyway. Yeah, it was a failure. And, you know, Nintendo had to bounce back. And the bounce back they did with the Switch. And it's about time. It's 4 years. And if there's a Nintendo Switch Pro, if it's going to be an OLED version, OLED screen version of the Switch with possibly, I don't know, capability if they can try. Oh, man,
that'd be sweet.
Much better controller quality, because Joy-Cons have a tendency to drift. They're just like every other controller with an analog stick, which means every controller has the same drift problem. But it's apparent on the Switch, because I think the lifespan of the Switch controllers, the Joy-Cons having drift, is shorter. Because you can experience drift in an Xbox or PlayStation controller after, like, I don't know, a year or even a few months. But I think this is possible. I hope they make news about this. I hope they bring up an update, because an updated Switch would be so awesome. You want to see HD, an HD level Switch. It's because the games there are great. You know, the Nintendo charm is always there. So,
All right, let's go to Ro. Do you think? What's your opinion on the possibility of a Switch Pro?
Man, I don't know. Because the only thing, I think after having three out of four consoles, PS4, Switch, PC right now, the only reason to get a Switch is for the exclusives. If you really wanted a better console, you probably wouldn't be getting a Switch. I have a Switch. It's gathering dust here right now, because I'm not playing Pokemon anymore. I'm not playing Breath of the Wild anymore. I'm just waiting for Breath of the Wild 2, right? Everything else I wanted to play is on PC or PS4 right now. Eventually PS5. So, yun. I don't really think if you are not a Nintendo fan, the Switch Pro isn't going to do it for you. But on the other hand, I also recognize and realize that the Switch and eventually the Switch Pro is a lot more casual friendly because it's portable for one. And it's not super hardcore. I think the branding isn't super hardcore. So it's a good thing. May market, but I just don't know if I myself am going to go get it after my Switch ended up collecting dust here at home.
All right. So our last two items, let's make it quick. Our last two items are Maki Ito in AEW and Pepe Le Vieux is canceled. All right, so let's do a rapid fire on Maki Ito in AEW. Describe it in one sentence. Let's start with Ro.
She's over, man. She is pretty over. The crowd knows her, I think. If they keep booking her, I don't know if she's there long term. She'll do fine.
All right. Oh, Jude, man, what is your quick thought on Maki Ito in AEW?
That debut is art. That's all I can say. That was like, I don't know. Yeah, the singing and just awesome. That's she's gonna be so entertaining for sure. That's one thing in Tagaga.
All right. And so as for myself, I'm just glad she can finally go to America and, you know, perform for the simps that she has in the States.
Yes, he's the most America ready Joshi.
Actually, yeah,
actually true.
Yeah, it's either her or... Okay, so I used to think Camille was going to be like the most America-ready because she already lived there before. But then I realized Camille doesn't really have much of a character besides being the pretty one. That's it. Like, she's the tall, pretty one. She's the tall, pretty wrestler.
She needs a bit more time to grow as a... to grow her character.
Yeah, definitely. Because in the back, she just...
You know, fired idol. Even that backstory just... has an impression, so
yeah,
looking forward to seeing her. I hope she really does well in AEW. It's a great place, and especially when the women's division their women's division needs a lot of push, and they're actually growing naman right now. It's really nice.
All right, the final entry for the other geeky news before we go. Pepe Le Pew is canceled.
This guy,
so for context. For context, Pepe Le Pew is rumored to be, he's going to be retired, supposedly. That's the rumor, is that WB is retiring the character of Pepe Le Pew, the pervy skunk, because supposedly he is a sexual harasser. To be honest, yeah, he is a sexual harasser.
That's true, he is.
He is.
Okay, here. Let me say, all right. When I watch Looney Tunes, I enjoy every character. Marvin the Martian, Bugs Bunny, trying to, you know, outsmart Yosemite Sam or Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Daffy Duck. Like, I had no problem with every one of those. But when I watch Pepe Le Pew, it has that X-Pac heat. Or something. makes me just switch the channel. I'd rather watch something from Disney or Nickelodeon. No thank you. I don't want to watch this guy forcefully chase someone who's not a skunk. The girl he was trying to chase was even a freaking
she's a cat.
Was freaking a cat that just accidentally got white paint on her back as a stripe. But Pepe Le Pew deserves to be retired. Yeah, put that character behind the tool shed.
Wow.
I don't like it's he's outdated. It's one of those things that the only reason I don't see any reason why even some of the old fans would get this. You really like a guy who sexually harasses in the heart, you know, still there. Like, it's an outdated character. It was, frankly, I was disgusted by it as a kid. Until now, I don't like it. And finally, that they're removing him, thank God. He stinks as much as the animal he's based on.
All right, Ro, what do you think of Pepe Le Pew being quote unquote canceled?
Man, aside from everything that Jude said, I mean, if you're defending Pepe Le Pew now, you are a faker, you're a poser. Nobody cares about Pepe Le Pew. I mean, he's not the most popular person on the Looney Tunes roster. Like, he's no Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck levels of popular. So let it go, guys. It's it's bad. It was bad take. It was a really bad stereotype as well. So nobody is going to miss...
Stereotype right
there. Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to miss Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
All right. So the way I see it, he was going to get his comeuppance anyway in Space Jam 2. I don't know why they decided to remove his scene from there. Because the... Okay, here's how the scene was going to go.
I would like
to see do his usual... So Pepe Le Pew was going to be doing his usual, you know, flirty, you know, sexual harassment bullshit. But in the end, he was going to be slapped by the person he was going to flirt with. So but I don't know why you had to remove him from the movie. Maybe use him sparingly. Because in Space Jam 1, he was barely there. Let's be honest. So I don't see the problem with putting him there.
It would have been nice. Would have been a great way.
But he was going to get slapped by the actor.
I would like to see him get shotgun by a... You know? Would have been nice.
Yeah, but like, now they, nasty, like, they won't even... Sorry about the bike, the really loud cars again.
But yeah.
You know, Elmer Fudd can't even use his gun anymore.
Of course.
Like, I don't know. Like, you know. Anyway, that's another issue. But like, the way I see Pepe Le Pew was going to get his comeuppance anyway, so that it would have sent a message that, you know, don't tolerate these sexual harassers like Pepe Le Pew. Slap them, leave, go. But, you know, because if I recall correctly, the celebrity who was going to do the cameo said that she was disappointed that her cameo was being removed. Kasi nga, it would have, sayang nga daw yung message na, you know, don't tolerate sexual harassers.
Yeah,
knock them
it would have been
diba?
An sayang, end. Sayang. It would have been
anyway,
a fitting end to the character.
Yeah, it would have been a fitting end diba, at the very least. Or like, at the very least, just keep him in the background. Don't make him do his usual, you know, his usual bullshit.
Anyway, for show, literally.
Yeah, literally just for show siya. Anyway, you can find the Geeky Juans on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. We also have a website, thegeekyjuans.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Spotify, of course. We would like to thank Ro Moran of the Wrestling Podcast. Thank you so much for dropping by again. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation.
Thanks, guys.
Where can we find you? Where can we find you on social media, man?
All right, you can find me at Rosewar on Twitter. That's where I mostly talk about wrestling. If you want to follow me on Instagram, that's fine too, at Rosewar. At Chang underscore daddy for the wrestling account, although I'm not a wrestler right now. Follow the Wrestling Podcast, guys. The Wrestling Podcast on Facebook, at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter, at Wrestling Podcast on Instagram. And we have two shows next week. One is our usual live stream every Thursday at 7 p.m. On Facebook Live in Kumu. The second one is a special Tuesday edition.
Exclusively
on Kumu, yes. Next Tuesday is March 16. That's 3/16. So it is a special Stone Cold Steve Austin celebration episode.
Nice.
So, yeah. We'll be talking about Steve Austin and our fond memories of him, as well as your fond memories of him as wrestling fans. So please do stay tune in to that on our Kumu. I think you'll find us on the Kumu front page on that time and day and time. So please follow us, guys, for more wrestling talk.
All right. So, very nice. Now, Jude, where can we find you besides at Jude S. Cruz?
No, it's Jude Thomas Cruz for
Oh, sorry about that. Jude Thomas Cruz, my bad.
I have a gaming page called Do This You. They haven't posted much there. I'm trying to find right now I'm just focusing on geeky ones. So I recently made a review for Pacific Rim the Black. It's been out for, I think it's the second week. It's been 2 weeks since that show is out, so you want to know how I feel about that show, you can check out my review on thegeekyones.com. and apart from that, that's pretty much it so far.
All right.
I haven't been promoting, I haven't been doing some streams because I'm gonna
busy with work. That's true. All right. Awesome. So as for myself, I am at Stevie Said Yup on Facebook. I am on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, pretty much. So besides wrestling, I also have a side vlog for hockey.
Hey.
The Ducks, the former Mighty Ducks of Anaheim are still shit today. We got shut down 6-0 by the San Jose Sharks. That is not nice. So do check out my vlogs for those rants about hockey. That's it. So for Ro, for Jude, I'm Steven. Thank you so much. We're the Geeky Ones. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by Mr. Speedy. Get 50 pesos off when you place your first delivery with Mr. Speedy when you use the code GEEKYMRSPEEDY. That's GEEKYMRSPEEDY. You can book a delivery via their website, MrSpeedy.ph, or download the Mr. Speedy app from the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Huawei Mobile Gallery. Available for Metro Manila, nearby provinces, and Cebu. That's GEEKYMRSPEEDY to get 50 pesos off your first delivery on Mr. Speedy.
This episode of The Geeky Ones is presented to you by Ambidexter.
Check out ambidexter.media for more information.